And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I am here tonight covering the Rowdies like I usually do with my co-host Carlos, who is shadow boxing, or maybe he's boxing a ghost, potentially. I hope for the former and not the latter, because the latter sounds a lot scarier. But it does appear that he's doing well, at least.
No, James, you know what I'm doing? This is my homage to homage, that's the word, to Mike Evans. 1,000 yards receiving once again. One of my favorite athletes in Tampa Bay sports history. I think this might be a hot take, but Mike Evans is my Tampa Bay sports GOAT across all the Tampa Bay sports.
Damn.
I was so happy to see him get another 1,000 yards. I know this isn't the Bucks podcast. Check out RBLR Sports Bucks for all that content. But man, that was so fun to see this weekend. It's at least been kind of entertaining to watch the Bucks go on a roller coaster season while the Rowdies aren't in season. Especially in this kind of, James, we talked about this before we started recording. Now we're live as well, actually. It's been a quiet-ish offseason up to now for the Rowdies. I mean, we had a pretty big splash signing in Ollie Bassett, who looks to be a fantastic player. But if you think about it, that's now been, I think 2 months or almost 2 months since we announced that signing back in November.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a little bit. The last actual bit of roster news we've had was on December 2nd, I believe, is when I saw it. Forrest Lasso re-signing. Again, that was really, really big, both literally and metaphorically.
Yep.
I make that bit happen every time. But yeah, it's been kind of quiet for us, James, so it's been good to have some other Tampa Bay sports going on. I'm really excited for Tampa Bay Sun to pick up the second half of their season. They have a game back up here in D.C. soon, so I'm really excited to go check that one out in person. It'll be my first Sun game in person.
There we go.
One more away, so I'm really excited for that. Plenty of sports going on in Tampa Bay, James, but as you know, this is the Rowdies podcast. We're here to talk about the first professional sports franchise in Tampa Bay, James. But like I said, kind of a quiet offseason. We have a few bits of transfer news to go over. Some former Rowdies making their way to other clubs around the USL that we can mention here in just a little bit. Still a bunch of good-looking free agents out there as well that we haven't talked about too much. A couple guys we mentioned a while ago in our wish list have gotten picked up as well. So there's movement going on. There's movement going around kind of quietly for some other teams. A lot of depth pieces moving around. A couple of big names hopping around the league, but nothing in the way of Rowdies transfers within the last 2 months, James. That's crazy. But how are you doing, James, before we jump into any of that?
Yeah, I am doing okay. Obviously, in the new year, we are trying to do all of our resolutions, everybody here. My resolution is to continue to cover the Rowdies, but maybe take it up a notch. So I have had for myself, it was a Christmas gift I asked for, and thanks to my mom. But I have asked for a scouting opposition analysis course. So maybe I will have some actual good insight for you guys in 2025. We'll see how that goes. Jeez. But
yeah, that's big. That's big. My only scouting is in FIFA when I'm playing Ultimate Team, and I have about 2 seconds to see what the other guy's team is. James, as you know, I have no idea what I'm talking about when it comes to tactics. That's why I refer to John Morrissey for that.
He's the best in the USL business, at least. Maybe not the whole business, but the USL business for sure.
He's there for sure. I feel like I already rely on you to break down the tactics. James, like when we get to the game recaps next year, I'm just going to let you speak for a good 20 minutes or so. If that's the case, you're going to be a pro by the end of this offseason. It's going to be awesome.
That's the idea. But tonight specifically, I also have a nice dark beer. Oh. It's been sitting in the fridge too long, so I'm going to pop it here. And this will be what I'm drinking for tonight's course, because I'm not doing my analysis tonight. So tonight we're doing mostly just vibes and how we feel things should go.
Yeah. This is one of those mildly agenda-less episodes of the off season as we go through and work through the bit of news around the league. But I think the biggest thing for me, Rowdies related, as we kind of jump into this one, January 7th, 6:15 p.m. I'll just kind of reemphasize what I said already. a little bit quieter than usual on the transfer news front. Nothing to be worried about, I don't think. It's just kind of unfortunate because I love Rowdy's content.
Yes, exactly.
Think about what the team's going to look like at the beginning of next year. And while we have a good chunk of core players back, we're still missing quite a few pieces to put together a full starting 11. So, yeah, that's where I am if we're talking about how we feel right now, January 7th, 6:15 p.m. I'm really, really excited to kind of get to the next couple weeks because I'm hoping it starts to pick up as we get closer to the official start of preseason, which I think is at the end of the month, James, if I'm not mistaken. So hopefully by then we have a better idea of what this team is going to look like next year. We know our midfield is going to be pretty much intact. Our back line is almost intact. Two of the three guys that are our starters are back. We need a goalie, James. We know we have our forwards back. So we need a few depth pieces as of now, I'd say for sure. We definitely need a keeper, and we need at least a couple more backline pieces to make me feel comfortable with where we are. And maybe go out and grab a couple more like NCAA guys. You know what I mean? We need some depth pieces. There's a lot of great talent coming out of college soccer right now. You see so many stories of these like kind of like really, really good D1 athletes that have made it out all the way to Europe now. Like it's producing I feel like, and this might be anecdotal because I'm only kind of starting to pay attention to that world within the last 5 years, 6 years. It feels like the NCAA is producing like a much higher level of talent than it has in the past,
you know,
or so years.
I think you might be right about that, but I think the only thing that I would say is rather than the NCAA producing a higher level of talent, I would say that probably the US and Canada are the two biggest markets for, if you want to use that term, the two biggest contributors to NCAA soccer talent on the men's and women's side. And the coaching and the level of youth instruction in both of those countries continues to get better every single year. So I would imagine that while probably the NCAA teams are importing a lot more players from abroad than they ever have, there are also better American and Canadian players making it into the top level schools there, just because we are getting much better youth players than probably we ever have had in the past. And hopefully that will mean it's definitely meant better things for the Canadian national teams. I'll say that, but hopefully it continues to mean better and better things for the US men's and women's national teams.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah. I mean, we could do this, James. I mean, there's a whole off season and I'm sure there's gonna be another quiet week or two. But I'm sure there's a point where we could just kind of spend an hour or 2 hours talking about college soccer and how crazy it is.
There was a lot of big storylines, but
yeah. And you know what? And I'm sorry, because I found this really fascinating recently. Before we go into the USL news, I know the Rowdies are not in the NCAA as far as I remember. But last bit of storyline here. With Vermont winning the national championship, it was a really good game, by the way. If you never had a chance to watch that back in December. Great highlights. Just
at least check out the highlights.
Yeah. Vermont had just an insane run, like not as big underdogs as people were saying they were. Like they're a very, very good team, but they certainly weren't expected to win the whole thing. But just really, really good run to the national championship. And I think we talked about this a little bit earlier, but college soccer is changing dramatically. We're attracting, like you said, just a lot of talent from even like around the world these days. Folks that in England, right, that maybe don't make it in the traditional way over there. Or I don't know, any other part of Europe. So many of the college soccer rosters are heavily populated by international students these days, and it's really interesting. It's changed the face of college soccer as we know it, because like Georgetown, for example, obviously near and dear to my heart, has always been really good at stealing the best talent locally to the DC area, and in like the Northeast in general. So Georgetown's roster has been mostly domestic and it's worked for them for a while, but now you're getting to a point where Marshall kind of came out of nowhere and became a powerhouse in US soccer within 5 years, because they dramatically changed their approach to recruitment and everything. It's fascinating. So I think that's dramatically changed how we approach college soccer in this country. It's really, really interesting. There's plenty of good talking points on that. We can spend hours talking about that. But I do think that's going to have a really interesting impact in the near future on the USL, because that means now not only are we getting some of the best talent domestically to go to college soccer, but we're getting really good talent from overseas to come play college soccer here, develop, and become really, really good prospects by the time they graduate.
Yeah.
Prospects that are, I think, primed to start at the USL level and work their way up from there. So that's a long-winded way of me saying college soccer has a great pool of talent right now. I hope we kind of start to take more advantage of that. We've seen that kind of in the past. We've had some decent players. Didn't Freddie Kleeman just come out of college?
He did. No?
Yeah.
And Zane Bubb this past year.
Sorry, I was thinking about Zane Bubb straight out of UCF, I think, right?
That's so right.
I'm a big USF fan, so I was kind of a short point. But you get my point, James. So much talent out there. We'll talk about USL free agents. I guess we're already in the USL, but I'm always going to give a shout out when I can to my boys from Georgetown. So many great talents right now who are looking for professional teams. Marlon Tabora, Big East Midfielder of the Year. Chris Haygart still a free agent, by the way. He was out in Orange County. Didn't really get much time over there. Couldn't really find his playing style over there. But Chris Haygart's another insane, like, winger, attacking midfield kind of guy that needs a team right now. So there's a lot of college soccer talent out there. But James, let's start with what we had somewhat planned before I keep rambling about college soccer. There's been a bit of news across the league, transfers, whatnot, right? Re-signings. But I think it would be most relevant for us to start with former Rowdies, very recent Rowdies, news we've seen from around the league for them. So let's kind of just jump into around the league transfers. Okay. So we know for a fact off the bat, James, you mentioned in our notes here, Raiko Rosarena. His news, he'll be staying in Las Vegas. James, was that super recent? I feel like I didn't see that, actually.
I believe that I saw that on Instagram today or yesterday, but it should be noted that Raiko Rosarena in this past season with Las Vegas did very, very well with them. Las Vegas, of course, are in the middle of this revamping with new ownership. Thank God. Everybody in USL, I think, is celebrating that there isn't like a fake team within the league. Maybe there's another one, I guess, but it's not Las Vegas. So we'll say that. But he went to Las Vegas and he joined this new project that they're getting started there. And he did extremely well. He became, over the course of this year as well, I guess it was probably before then, but over the course of the past 2 years, he has become the Cuban national team number one goalkeeper. That's obviously very cool for him personally. It's, I think personally, for me, very cool for the league, because I watch CONCACAF Nations League as much as I can. And I think that Cuba has a lot of very good young talent. So putting it all together, I think that that is a really great situation for Raiko Rosarena. He's got a stable club setting to stay in and continue to grow in, even if maybe the field isn't the best at all times. That, you know, that challenges a goalkeeper to become better, I guess. So I'm happy for him. And I think that he did not get the chance that he probably wanted to shine in Tampa Bay. And when he was given a chance, he probably didn't take it. There was always talent there, and I think people recognize that. We're at a position now where I am comfortable saying, at least, the talent that I thought was there is really starting to shine, and he is starting to show the type of goalkeeper that he can become, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I know his brother's no longer in Tampa Bay, but Randy Rosarena had such a great impact on this area. I was so, so glad when Raiko made the signing over here in Tampa Bay. Unfortunately, it didn't work out, but I think I've said before, we've been really blessed with a string of really, really impressive goalkeepers, who are all league quality almost every year. So it makes sense that he couldn't really find his footing here. He needed a club where he could kind of just start to get playing time. I'm glad it's with Las Vegas. I think it's pretty cool that you get to be a part of this like rebuild, era for this team. They're decent. They were decent last year. They had a good-looking team every once in a while for a few games. They competed. I was happy, like you said, because it wasn't a fake team anymore. The USL is better when there's not these like faux, you know, clubs in the league. Yeah. I'm happy for him. I think it's great. He has stability over there. Keep getting more minutes over there. Keep getting better. Keep getting starts for Cuba. I do think there's some bigger moves in store for him. Like you said, it seemed like he always had potential. When Evan Laura went down, I was actually made it a point to go check out the Rowdies training. I think the Friday morning before the game, my dad and I ventured over to St. Pete and like caught a bit of the training from the outside. And we saw a couple of Rowdies players on the outside just walking out, asking a few questions. We're like, hey, like, you know, we asked a couple of the guys, like, I think we talked to Sebastian Gonzotti in particular, just in passing on the way out. He's like, what do you think about Rijka? Like, you think he's gonna be ready for the championship game? And everybody had like, I mean, obviously they're not gonna trash their own teammate, but everybody had like insane things to say about his talent. Like, he looks so good on the practice field. And I think it was unfortunate that we didn't get like maybe the full Rijka Rosarena on that infamous match day, right, in the championship. But like you said, I think his talent's going to start to come out with more stability, with more playing time. And I think it is coming out, like you said. Las Vegas had a certainly a much better year than they've had in the past. So good for him. Happy for him there. Okay, James, another bit of news here. Former Rowdies, guys that we love that did not stick around. Damian Rivera obviously was on loan from New England. Ended up at Phoenix Rising for this upcoming season. So Phoenix Rising stealing another former Tampa Bay Rowdy over there. Now they have a few. I believe Lawrence Wyke is still there. I believe
he's a free agent right now.
He is. Okay. I don't know about Charlie Dennis, James. Do you know about Charlie Dennis?
I believe that he's sticking around at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So at the moment they have two former Rowdies on that club. So yeah, I mean, what's the thing some of the Twitter folks like to say? Mesa St. Pete, MSP. something about a connection between Phoenix and St. Pete. Sure. I mean, that's a thing. Damian Rivera going across the country to play over there. Yeah, I think it'll be good for him. I think that's going to be a club where he'll be able to get more starting minutes than he was able to here at the Rowdies. Obviously, he was an incredible super sub. I mean, I think he really thrived in that role for us. But in a place like Phoenix, where they were kind of struggling a bit last year to find their footing, to find their attack, I think Damian Rivera will be a really good spark plug over there. Potentially could be a regular starter for that club. So, yeah, good luck to him. I know it's easier for me to say that when they're in the Western Conference, because that means we only have to play them once.
Presumably.
At worst, twice, and that would be a good thing if we're playing Phoenix Rising twice, because that means we're
Carlos, fine. You're forgetting the possibility, though. You're forgetting the possibility of Jägermeister Cup.
Oh, true. Shoot. Okay. So hypothetically, we could play them three times, which I guess would be kind of fun. But yeah, so good luck to Damian Rivera. We've hyped him up so much this past season. He really did deserve it, truly.
Oh, yeah.
He has so much potential at the young age of 22. He's still coming into his physical prime. With more experience, more playing time, he's going to become, I think, a really, really thriving player in this league. And I think could be set for a bigger move to an MLS squad in the near future. Because, I mean, this kid's got talent, and it's coming out of him like really, really quickly. So as long as he gets starting minutes somewhere and kind of finds that footing, he'll be okay. And I think Phoenix will be a good place for him.
Yeah, I'm sad in terms of us not being able to keep him, but I do understand it from his perspective. I think that he could see from the way that 2024 went, at least, it's hard to imagine that 2025 might change so radically that he's going to become the immediate starter from day one. Maybe you don't get those assurances in moving to Phoenix, but you probably feel a little bit better about it. I think that he could have worked his way into it. Every player, and by the way, I will say, just like Carlos has already pointed out, his role on the team as a super sub, incredible. I think that he had 8 goals in the league last season. Imagine scoring 8 goals and most of the time you're playing 10, 15 minutes. Yeah. Like, that's nuts. So he obviously does have a lot of talent, and the next step is for him to become a starter somewhere. And it's unfortunate that I guess the Rowdies coaching staff could not make him the guarantees, but you can't guarantee something like that. You really can't. If he felt that he was going to have the better opportunity to start in Phoenix, I totally get his move. But it is unfortunate from our perspective, as it is with any former Rowdies player, that I can think of. I don't think there's nobody that I can remember that I wouldn't say this for, but we do wish him all the best. And the only time that I hope Damian Rivera does not score is when he plays us, of course.
Which he inevitably will, by the way. That's
of course.
Yeah, like almost always how it goes. Okay, so last former Rowdy, I believe, on our short list, making the move, and this is hot off the press. This was as
hot off the press
a few hours ago. Yeah. And this one kind of pisses me off, James. Ryan Spalding to Sacramento Republic. That's unfortunate. Honestly, I thought this was a surefire signing to the Rowdies at some point this offseason. If I could put money on where players are going in the USL on the Hard Rock sports betting app, I would have put money on Ryan Spalding to be coming back to the Rowdies. It's unfortunate because of what I have no clue what the situation was with New England, but it was something really silly. They seem to have very little idea of how to develop players with a lot of talent. So I'm glad he got out of there. I'm just somewhat upset it's not with the Rowdies. Because, man, I mean, Ryan Spalding quickly became one of this club's favorite players in a really, really short amount of time. If he was here as a full-time permanent Rowdy, he'd be able to grow into, I don't know, like a regular starter, obviously, but I think a star at the wingback position. And I think he could be that in Sacramento, of course. Obviously, he knows Neil Collins from his time with the Rowdies a couple seasons ago, so... Mm-hmm. I mean, if there was a second team I would have bet on him to move to, I guess that would make sense. It'd be Sacramento. But man, I was so confident that this was going to be a move that would happen for the Rowdies sooner rather than later. So swing and a miss on my end, unfortunate. Again, like you said, good luck to him, except for that September game when they're going to be in Tampa Bay. It'll be fun for a variety of reasons, including Neil Collins being there, and now Ryan Spalding will be there playing against us. Unfortunate. I do think this was a move we should have kind of pushed for maybe a bit harder. Not that we didn't. I have no clue. I mean, there's no real, no way to know that. No source on the inside to give us that information. But yeah, good luck to him. I wish he was a Rowdy though, truly. This one kind of hurts.
Yeah, I can't really say anything that you haven't said here. The only thing that I will say that is different is actually related to Sacramento's roster. And specifically, I will say that Sacramento already had a starting left back last season, Aldair Sanchez. He is originally a Portland Timbers Academy player and then left college early to join Sacramento. He has been their starting left wing back for two seasons at least now. So the only issue that I have, just because I am always going to request that the American youth option be given a chance, that kind of stinks. But obviously, it also does suck, just like you said, Carlos, that somebody that we know can offer as much to the Tampa Bay Rowdies as we have seen. There was a bit of Spalding sanity in 2023. So we will not get to experience that more than likely, at least for 2025. In the future, yeah. Who can say? But yeah, it does suck. Neil Collins, obviously, he knows the lay of the land here. He's ready to go. He's ready to step into USL, and he's ready to make a team for himself. And yeah, I wish that, I don't know. I another one of the bad parts of Neil Collins moving to Sacramento is that, of course, he is going to know which players he can call upon, and of course, they're going to be players that the Rowdies and the Rowdies fans would like to have down in Tampa Bay. So we knew that something like this was going to happen. I guess probably we did not expect that it would happen this quickly and this in your face. It's really not brazen. Brazen is not the right word because it's not like illegal or anything, but it is absolutely in your face. And it's a little bit of a gut punch.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the cherry on top would be stealing a Cal Jennings from us now. I mean, Cal Jennings obviously still out there. I'm surprised because maybe not. Maybe there's some bigger move happening to somewhere in Europe or something like that. I have no clue. I don't know. Maybe just like Argentina. That'd be kind of fun.
I would. I'd love it.
But I mean, yeah, Cal Jennings is still out there. That'd be something. I mean, if Neil Collins just starts picking up all the former Rowdies, that's going to be a problem, James. I mean, Neil Collins and Sacramento are going to be a serious problem for this league. Obviously, Neil Collins is one of the best managers in this league, if not the best right now. Like you said, he knows the land very, very well. Sacramento already had a great base and a core to build on.
Yeah, absolutely. They have a very good roster for anyone who, like me, is currently going through it.
Yeah. So maybe early favorites right now up there is Louisville. Louisville retained like their entire roster, so they're going to be as good as they were last year and probably a little bit better. Unfortunate for the league, probably good for Neil Collins. But yeah, we'll have to see how it all plays out. Still plenty of offseason to go. But I'll tell you what, I'm pretty scared of that team right now for that September game. It'll be fun though. Yeah, we'll be at home. We can probably snatch a good result still because we have a great looking roster as well already. But that roster is going to be a problem. Neil Collins is a great coach. He's going to have a great roster. They're building something over there very rapidly. So keep an eye on the city of Sacramento. James, I'll give you one more former Rowdy who made a recent move, by the way. This one's a little less relevant to the Rowdies because he got, I don't think he played a minute actually, now that I think about it, which was why it was so frustrating when he went to Memphis and thrived over there. Luis Fernando. Luis Fernando do Nascimento, of course. Obviously Memphis folding in a, or not folding, I think relocating officially, their franchise rights. I don't know how this works, but, point is Luis Fernando moving to New Mexico United. He had a, he had a quieter season last year. But if you look back at his past few seasons, I mean, you'll note pretty solid numbers, particularly in, I think it was 23. He had 4 goals, 5 assists. He's a great dribbler. He really found his game over there in the central midfield. I mean, he was balling for the last couple seasons and then kind of had a quieter last season. Yeah, so this is going to be a pretty big move, I think, for New Mexico. A quietly big move. I was looking through the transfers and thinking former Rowdies. This is one that stuck out to me because, again, like we said, Luis Fernando did not have, well, I don't think he had a single minute with the Rowdies back when he was here. And I think it might have been partially because of injury, partially because he just couldn't really find a rhythm here or any space to get playing time with how deep that midfield was and is still. But yeah, found his footing over there in Memphis, gave us problems when we played them. Now he's going to New Mexico. So interesting move on the quieter side of the, or on the quieter end of USL transfers. But this could be a bigger deal than it seems, if that makes any sense. He's got a lot of game to offer. So that could be a big pickup for New Mexico.
Yeah. New Mexico were another team that was starting to really flex their muscles last season. And I think that it was were they one of the teams that went one and done in the playoffs? And everybody was like, how did that happen? I might be misremembering that, but
I think they beat Phoenix. I think they were in that game where Phoenix scored first and I tweeted too early. I was like, oh my God, New Mexico on upset alert. And then they scored 2 in like 5 minutes right after.
Oh, okay. I'm pretty sure they won the West Coast. So they are a team that is up and coming. This is a good move for him specifically. And assumedly that means that New Mexico did their research and they were ready to bring in somebody that they thought would continue to elevate them.
Yeah. This was the team that lost to Las Vegas in the Western Conference semifinal. And that was the upset that we might remember. But they beat Phoenix in that first round. But yeah, plenty of stuff to build on for them. Like you said, first place in the Western Conference. Yeah, they were in first place. Sacramento held on to that for a while, but New Mexico pulled away at the end after a string of kind of bad results for Sacramento. Like I said, quietly could be a big move for New Mexico United. Okay, James, you have a few other names you mentioned that could be somewhat important moves in the USL. Throw a name at us that sticks out to you in the transfer market.
Right. Well, the first one that stood out was one that was another very recent one. So Lexington have done the thing that everybody knows you can do and finish pretty low in your league and then get promoted anyway without a system of actual promotion and relegation. They were able to move their way up the divisions by dint of their personal financial capabilities, which included building a soccer-specific stadium. Now, far be it from me to criticized building a soccer-specific stadium, especially for lower league teams, by the way. So I'm not going to say that Lexington don't deserve this or anything. I think that the ownership obviously had their eyes on the future when they were creating rosters that maybe weren't the best at the USL League One level. So whatever. But now they are trying to work towards building their roster up a little bit more. Hopefully they'll do that on the USL Super League side as well, because they're not doing great in that league at the same time. So either today or yesterday, they announced the signing of Brazilian player Nico Firmino. Anyone who is not familiar with this name, he is a New England Revolution Academy player. He was bouncing around between loans from the Revolution and I think a couple of USL teams, but also their second team. And then he went to Atlanta United. He got a couple of games with them, mostly again with the second team. And I think he might have done another loan in the USL. So he has joined Lexington. And usually, like I point out, when we see players who have this kind of career trajectory, they end up being very good at the USL championship level. I have no doubt that Nico Firmino is going to be a very good central to attacking midfielder for Lexington. And with them having Cameron Lancaster up top, somebody that they brought with them from their season last year in 2024, I think that this is going to be not necessarily somebody that we need to keep an eye on immediately. The team is probably going to struggle in their first season, because most teams will. That's just how it goes. But this is a quietly good pickup. And I think that they are working towards, they're going to want to establish themselves in a state where there's already a very good soccer team, actually. Surprising to say, because it's Kentucky, but it's true. They are going to want to build up a roster that will last them a little bit longer, maybe get them over a rough season or two. And I heard the phrase today, build up like you're on a treadmill. So yeah, I think that this is one of the pieces. This is one of those first steps on the treadmill where you're actually starting to pick up a little bit of speed. So Nico Firmino at Lexington, keep an eye on that one, especially when we play them, of course. But wait, they're Lexington are Western Conference, aren't they?
Yeah, interesting.
So one game, potentially more, but one game against Lexington. And we will, I guess, get to see him at that point. Hopefully, this was the one that we were talking about before, where I mentioned I hope to get up to Lexington and see them play there. But yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait for that.
Yeah, that'll be the Kentucky week I think it's within a week, because they go to Lexington that week prior, and then next week and they're in Louisville. So I don't know, if you're a sicko, you work remote or something, and you want to hang out in Kentucky for a week, that'd be kind of fun for you.
Yeah.
Bounce over from Lexington.
You just need to find the right Airbnb.
Yeah, exactly. That could be a good time. Yeah, Nico Firmino. Can't say I knew a bunch about him, but could be a important move as well. James, I'm looking at usltactics.com. John Morrissey, you are my savior when it comes to the USL offseason. A few other moves here I can point out. One of the guys that was on my Rowdy's wish list just a few weeks ago, officially scratch him off because he is going to Indy. Elvis Amo is moving from Detroit City FC to Indy 11. I think that'll be a pretty good pickup for Indy. I've talked about Elvis Amo a lot in the past because he gives us problems, to put it lightly, anytime we ever play them. Or play him wherever he is. I am haunted by that game against Detroit where against Hartford, where Hartford had like a bunch of sick players. I think they had like COVID.
Yes.
I think they had maybe 12 rostered players. They needed to go out and grab like a goalie because they didn't have anybody. So there was
an amateur goalie.
Yeah. There was a goalie that played his first and I think last professional game as of a couple of years, a year ago, maybe, for Hartford. And of course, Elvis Amo, that's a long winded way of saying Elvis Amo gave us problems in that game.
Yep.
And scored a great goal, over there. So, in St. Pete. So Indy 11, is replacing, let me check. They lost Augie Williams this off season. I'm not sure that's a great one-to-one replacement. Elvis Amo's been pretty good. I'm not sure he's up to Augie Williams's level of production or quality within the last couple seasons. But he's certainly plenty of talent. He has a bunch of talent. He'll be up there with Mario Williams, and I think it could be a fun duo if they run that. They also signed Edward Kizza, though. So maybe Amo comes off the bench like he did for Detroit, plays a kind of super sub role. I think it'd be a great place for him as well. So keep an eye on Indy. They have a bit of solid depth, actually, now that I'm looking at it in the attack. Back line is half decent. Can't say a ton about it. They still have former Rowdy Jack Blake, who I loved in his short time with the Rowdies. Decent looking midfield with Cam Lindley as well, and Aiden Quinn, of course. Keep an eye on them. Could be kind of fun. Elvis Amo coming off of the bench, super sub, is pretty fun to watch as long as it's not against your team.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind as well, James. That'll be my contribution to this list. You had one more name, James, here. Samuel Carriaga. Where's he going?
Yeah, so there are a lot of players, and we're going to get into this when we talk about the free agents a little bit more. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your perspective, Memphis having folded means that there is a whole roster's worth of players that are available. Yeah. Some of them, of course, by now have been taken. Luis Fernando is a great example of that. But there is Samuel Carriaga. He was an Argentinian player on loan to Memphis from, I think, Lanús in Argentina. And he has now signed for Hartford Athletics. So that is kind of a big move. I remember Samuel Carriaga being a surprisingly good player. And I only say surprisingly because I don't remember him being a regular starter for Memphis. If I remember correctly, at least when we played Memphis, he mostly came off the bench and then came on and like totally changed the game. Totally changed the game every time that I saw him. And I always wondered why he wasn't getting more starts, I guess, more regular playing time. Potentially, he was actually being played out of position and he would have preferred to play in a different spot where they already had somebody. One of those free agents that we're going to talk about shortly from Memphis could have been ahead of him. I can't say. But yeah, it was an interesting case. And I do think Hartford made a pretty shrewd pickup there.
For sure. Yeah, Carriaga is definitely a good-looking player. It's one of those really random moves. And I'm looking at, again, John's transfer tracker on his website. There's another one I'll mention here in a minute. But it's one of those random moves that seem to pan out pretty well. It seems like more often than not, those random moves don't really amount to anything significant. But this one seemed to work out. So could be a good move for him and for Hartford as well.
Yeah.
I'll give you another random one. Anthony Fontana is moving to Colorado Springs from PEZ Zwolle in the Dutch Eredivisie. That's a weird one. I know nothing about this kid. I just know, or this guy, he's 25. I just catches my eye, one of those random moves. He's not a stranger to the USL, though. He played for Bethlehem Steel from 2016 to 2019 before playing for Philadelphia.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, before playing for Philadelphia Union, making his way over to the Italian third division, over to Netherlands eventually, and then making his way back to the USL in Colorado Springs Switchbacks. Kind of a random one. I love seeing those occasional really like random names I can't pronounce in the clubs that they've transferred from.
Yeah.
This is one of those. So shout out to him, I guess. Looks like he could be a pretty decent player in the central midfield and the attack. I'll give you a couple other ones here, James, off the bat that catch my eye. It could be pretty big ones. Akeem Ward is another Memphis guy that needs a team. He was a really, really, really solid fullback for Memphis. And he's also going to Colorado Springs. So Colorado Springs is reinforcing a really good team that they had last year.
Yep.
They haven't lost a ton of players either. A lot of their big ones. I mean, Alex Anderson's gone. Tyreek McGee's gone. Speedy Williams is gone. So they lost a few. Ronaldo Damus is gone. Damn, actually, they lost more than I thought or than I remember. But anyway, there's a good fullback coming in here to replace Matthew Real, who's leaving as well. So they have a good looking roster already. keep an eye on them to keep adding to their depth. They have a great core from this championship team that won this past season. Akeem Ward adds to that for sure. Also, Niall McCabe re-signing for Louisville seems to be kind of important. It adds to a laundry list of Louisville players that have re-signed for that team, which is so annoying because it seems like they have just insane consistency. Again, looking at John's transfer tracker, if you just scroll down to the Louisville tab, you see how long their like kept players list is. It's absurd. It's absurd. I mean, when they announced who they're re-signing initially, it was like 18 players already. Now they're up to more than that, and I don't feel like counting all of them. So big signing for them, or I guess re-signing. Now McCabe, solid central midfielder for them. So, James, those are all the ones that caught my eye off the bat in the moves this week. Do you have anything else to mention here in terms of the USL transfer scene?
Well, the only thing that I will say as well is Naples, FC Naples, is picking up. We will only play them, presumably, one time in the Jägermeister Cup, so we will have that to look forward to. But they do have to build their own roster for their own season. They're getting at least a couple of guys from Northern Colorado Hailstorm, if anybody remembers that name. They won the first Jägermeister Cup and then folded, so... It's a very weird situation, but they have signed a couple of players from there. And their first player ever, Jaden Onan, English player who was originally from the Arsenal Academy, went professional with Brentford and Reading in England, and then last season played with Lexington. So, yeah, kind of interesting move there. Just going through his stats here, he is of Ugandan descent, and it was reported that FUFA were trying to arrange dual citizenship. FUFA is the football federation of Uganda. So just wanted to throw that little bit out there too. It was pretty funny.
That sounds like when I'm like in Ecuador and I see the street vendors selling like the off brand, like Gucci. You know what I mean?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like instead of FIFA, I'm running a FUFA. FUFA's there. James, I'll give you a few free agents out there that catch my eye who still have not been signed. Obviously, the Rowdies need a bit more in the back line than anything, but I think we can use some pieces up top as well. We can always use a bit of solid depth in the midfield. I think more than anything, we sometimes need depth at the wingback spots. That seems to be a position whose energy gets exerted the most in any given game, running up and down the field as much as they do. I'll give you a few names who catch my eye as well. There's a forward, obviously, so this doesn't fit to any of the positions I said we need right now, but Stefano Pino is still out there in the USL. Obviously, Kyle Jennings is another forward who's still out there, but we're probably not getting him back. Prosper Kasim in midfield is still out there. You have Joaquin Rivas, who still, I think, has a lot to give. He's a USL vet. He's been solid wherever he goes. He single-handedly, I felt, carried that Miami FC team that he was on through dreadful years. Joaquin Rivas put him on his back. I think he'd be a great depth piece as he's kind of more so on the back end of his career now, I'd say. I think he still has a lot to offer in that attacking midfield role. This is a fun one. Thomas Van Kaziel is still out there as a free agent.
Huh, interesting.
He had a very short stint with the Rowdies, but I think he has so much talent, and he had a few games where he was able to show that for us. I think if he's just looking for a club, and there's not many people picking him up out there, or, you know, hitting up his line, Thomas Van Kaziel could be a good depth piece for our back line as well. I'll give you another central midfielder as well. Anderson Asiedu is still out there in the front line. One of my wish list guys is still out there, Augie Williams. We can always bring back Sebastian Guanzotti. He's still a free agent. So this is all to say there's actually a lot of really good-looking free agent talent still out there right now. We're not super deep into the off season, but we're kind of getting there to the point where preseason is like official start of preseason is rapidly approaching end of January. Yep. So you want to have most of, if not all of your team kind of set, by that time. So maybe we expect a few more moves in the next couple of weeks. I think it'd be kind of, unusual if not. With January officially kicked off now. We're in January 7th. Is it still appropriate to say Happy New Year? I said Happy New Year to someone earlier today. It's like a week into the new year. I don't know. But we're fully into the new year. We're January 7th. So, yeah, still a bunch of free agent talent out there to pick up before the end of offseason, going into the preseason. There's, like you said, Memphis guys that really need a club right now. Bruno Lapa had a great run with Memphis. I'm surprised nobody's picked him up already. Marlin, their forward, is still up for grabs. I mean, I think he's probably looking for a more guaranteed starting role than he would have over here in Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. But he's still out there. Oscar Jimenez is a bit older now as well, but he's just a vet of this league as well. He has a ton to offer still at the fullback spot. Like, there's so many good players still out there. I think we could go out there and grab a couple really, really solid depth pieces, because there's just a lot of guys that are looking for clubs right now. Former Georgetown guy, Tomas Gomez, from Orange County SC, still needs a club. He is a goalkeeper. Didn't get a ton of time over there. Super talented. Could be a good backup keeper as well. So just a ton of guys out there, James. Anybody that you've seen out there, still a free agent, does anybody still catch your eye? Is there anybody that you've been keeping an eye on, hoping the Rowdies kind of, I don't know, throw an Instagram DM or phone text over to?
Actually, I did want to highlight two players, and then I found a third one. So I'll just go through those really quickly here. The first one is another Memphis player, and it will tie into what I was mentioning earlier, how I would prefer that if you can give U.S. youth national team players any opportunity, you should probably try to do that. And that is Knight Pickering.
Yeah,
that is Knight, N-I-G-H-T-E, just to say. Knight Pickering, he is an attacking player, most frequently plays as a striker, but he can also play on the wings. And he did that for Memphis. He will be turning 20 later this month, so he's still a very young player. He's got a ton of minutes within the USL for his age, so I think that as a depth piece, at the very least, I think that he would be very good, and he would follow up on the same path that we have taken for Nate Worth, and obviously for our own youth players, not Santi Castaneda and Tate Johnson, but with Endre Mustali and Christian Ortiz. So that is a name that I would like to throw out. There are two other names that I think are going to be a little bit more out of left field. So I do have one MLS prospect. He is a former Houston Dynamo goalkeeper, homegrown player, and the presumptive number one goalkeeper for the Dominican Republic national team, Javier Valdez. So this is a player who will have experience playing alongside Christian Ortiz, for one thing. But beyond that, he is a very good goalkeeper. He's a young goalkeeper. Maybe he's somebody that we could build the team. You can't build the team around a goalkeeper, but you can build the team around the future of having a young prospect like this. So I think that Javier Valdez would be a good signing. And the last one, this is going to be as out of left field as I get.
Uh-oh.
Mason Judge. This is a name that very few people are going to know. Mason Judge is a former U.S., I think probably under 17 level national team player. When he was at that age, he was playing for Clearwater Chargers. Everybody knows where Clearwater is, obviously. It's very close by. He moved from Clearwater to play in Germany. And then, unfortunately, he did not catch on with any of those teams. So right now, if I'm not mistaken, he's playing in Austria, in maybe the second division, something like that. He's only 21, 22 at the most. This is a good young player, local player. And I think that at the very least, we could have him as a depth piece. I was thinking we definitely need more starting level players for the defensive unit. That's for sure. But think about players that we had this past season. Eddie Munjoma, in all honesty, I think was a really good pickup. Not only did we have him as a competent player and starter for close to 30 games. Maybe you don't want to rely on Eddie Munjoma for 30 games as a starter. Maybe that's a little harsh. I'm not in that position to say. But we definitely do need depth. And he filled in multiple roles very competently outside of probably one game against Charleston. Other than that, I think that having him on this team was extremely beneficial for us. And I'm kind of surprised he was allowed to leave. So why don't we go and get a local kid who could probably play a pretty similar role? And that's why I'm throwing out the name Mason Judge. If anybody has heard of him, then there you go. There's your very old callback from from his youth national team days.
There you go. That's a good one to end on, I think, for our free agents. Yeah, there's plenty of other players out there who are like end of loans or TBD situation still. So, like I said, still a good month-ish of offseason to go before preseasons really kick off. But it's coming up quickly. So these things will have to get sorted out very, very rapidly. Plenty of good players still looking for clubs. I'm hoping more than anything we kind of start to emphasize grabbing one really, really, really quality backline guy to fill in the gap on the back line with Aaron Guillen and Forrest Lasso. So let's go out and grab somebody. James, anything else we should mention in terms of off-season stuff, transfers as of now, or do you think this is a good place to start to wrap it up for us?
I think this is a good place for us to wrap up tonight. I think we covered a lot of ground across the USL. Yeah. Literally, if you talk about the ground and the footprint of all the teams that we talked about. So, yeah, I think we did well. The one other thing I will say, we are going to have our upcoming event with producer Eureka Wheeler doing the Hot Wings Challenge. We are just trying to sort out the exact details of when and how that's going to go. But keep an eye on our social media to find out when that will be. Again, 2 weeks in a row, great transition into saying thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And please follow us on all of our social medias at RBLR Sports. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, anywhere you are. We are too. Even Blue Sky, I forgot that one this time. I am mostly on Twitter at RBLR James K. You can use the hashtag AskRBLR. Or Carlos, where can they get you?
At CarlosTPA10 on Twitter. Again, off-season content right now, so I'm talking a lot about the Bucks, especially as the playoffs kick off. And Georgetown basketball is off to a 12-2 start as well, which has been really fun to watch. So expect to see some of that on my timeline. But Rowdy's content has to be starting up again soon. It has to. Give us some off-season news. Front office, please. I'm dying out here. It's dry. Let's make it happen.
All right. And you can like and subscribe to our podcast or get the full experience on YouTube. We are also on Spotify, the iHeartRadio app, Apple and Google Podcasts for another week in the books in 2025. Mm. And for more Rowdies news, but in the future, come on, you Rowdies.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.